Welcome to this edition of Nightlight. Paul commands us to not despise prophecy, which means do not treat it with contempt or disregard it or deny its validity. Now, dispensationalism teaches that any true gift of prophecy, along with all the other gifts, ceased to be in operation after the death of the last of the apostles. This would mean that no charism of the Spirit, no anointing, was in operation after the first century, which is a ludicrous concept, obviously. If there's no charismatic anointing on the ministry of speaking, which is, in effect, what dispensationalism teaches, then the Holy Spirit is not even operating through the preaching and teaching or testimony of any preacher or teacher or witness. That's ludicrous. It's not our aim here to delineate all the scriptures that support the ongoing operation of all the gifts of the Spirit through the church age, right up to the return of the Lord. I'll just mention a couple of items. For instance, Paul opens his letter to the Corinthians by remarking that, quote, "You come behind in no gift while waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus." Here, Paul ties the operation of the gifts of the Spirit directly to the return of Jesus. And then later, in chapter 13 of the same letter, he says that when that which is perfect has come, then the imperfect, meaning the gifts, will be done away. Now, teachers who have tried to claim that this verse is a proof text for the cessation of the operation of the gifts, such as prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, and tongues, end up shooting themselves in the foot. This very verse proves the exact opposite of cessationism. Even scholars among their own ranks have rejected, and rightly so, the idea that it was the Bible that was being referred to by Paul as that which is perfect, which is going to come. When we got the Bible, that was supposed to be the perfection that was coming that would do away with the gifts. Well, it's not the Bible Paul was referring to. He was referring to the coming of the kingdom of God. When the kingdom has come in its fullness, we who once saw through a dark glass will see face to face. We who once only knew in part will know completely. Then the need for gifts will cease, but this only underscores the very fact that gifts such as prophecy would be fully functional right up to the return of Jesus on the earth. Paul wants the whole church to operate in prophecy, 1 Corinthians 12. Yet he tells the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that they must watch out for every false manifestation of prophecy, abstain from participating in such false things, and hold fast that which is good that may be coming through the prophetic gift. Then he says, don't despise prophesying. Evidently, prophecy can become something that is easy to despise, or Paul wouldn't have said that. If so, though, why would God even set this gift into the church? Paul says in chapter 12 that the purpose of prophecy is to edify, exhort, and comfort. And yet, it's something that can be so confusing or even despicable that Paul has to warn them not to despise it. Well, we know from various texts that prophecy can have two different operations that may intertwine or operate separately. First, it may foretell the future, like Agabus in the book of Acts, who foretells the coming of a famine and also of Paul's arrest. But more often, prophecy refers to preaching under a strong anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not just preaching, but it's powerful, prophetic, anointed preaching. Such preaching may have foretelling elements in it, but it's more forthtelling than foretelling. It speaks in such a way as to bring immediate response to the message by awakening conviction that brings repentance and wise godly action.